You're listening to the Dynasty Tradecast, brought to you by MyBookie, the official sportsbook of RotoViz Radio. Hey everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast. I, as always, am your host, Eric Bertzloff, better known on Twitter as @DynastyTrades, joined by my two co-hosts, Nathan and Dan. What's up, guys?
We are so close to football season. I tweeted out earlier, but it's you know it's almost football season when Nathan starts tweeting about pointless football games for Strawberry Crest toothpaste versus the Huntington Beach Lions or whatever they're called.
Hey, Nathan writes for a legitimate newspaper for high school football. He found like a real gig that pays.
Yeah, well, he's smart.
Real gig, you know, freelance.
He's, yeah. he's like air quotes. He's like, that pays. Yeah, sure. That's what it does.
Yeah.
They pay him in alcohol.
If only. If only. Yeah, I'm excited for the show today. Today, we always talk about, you know, guests we've wanted to have on forever and guys that have slid into the DMs multiple times. This is the perfect example. I've slid into Chad Scott's DMs at least 87 times to try and get him on this show. And then Dan, on his first try, booked him. So I don't know. Chad, I just want to ask, what do you have against me?
Yeah, you know, I knew you were going to bring that up because you have asked me multiple times. And it's not for that I have never wanted to come on the show because I listen to you guys actually every week. And I've always wanted to come on the show. It's just whenever you do ask me, there's always something going on. And I like Dan better. So, I mean,
We knew that.
Yeah, so full disclosure, Chad pulled up a notepad there and he pulled it back down. I think there's a list of reasons that he said no and he decided to abort.
There was.
That you can't see the video.
I actually have a conspiracy theory about why Chad said, I mean, he said yes immediately. It wasn't like, hey, let me think about it. It was, oh, I'm in. It's solely for the purpose that he's trying to make a trade with me in Kitchen Sink, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants Sterling Shepard. He should know better than that. But
wait, so is he selling a podcast appearance for, like, a discounted trade value? Because I applaud everything that Chad's doing then.
I'll sell my left testicle for a trade value.
All right, and fun fact, Chad has no testicles. Let's move on.
It's true. It's
not good. He sold both, but they were great deals. All right, so we have a new sponsor here on the podcast. I don't know if you heard it at the top. Ever since I started doing this podcast, people have always asked me for advice, and usually it's like, what team do you want to bet on this week? So it's like, do you want the Chicago or Detroit? Do you want the Patriots or the Steelers? You know, honestly, that's probably a 50-50, but let me tell you what, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell my people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie's been in business for years. They've got a really solid rep, and they do 100% cash bonuses. So off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. So that's two-day payouts, which is pretty unprecedented in the industry if you're a sports bettor. So let me tell you, I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile app that is awesome. It makes wagering on the go a breeze. So go join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit for 100% of whatever you put in. You use the promo code TRADECAST, that's TRADECAST, to activate your offer, and that's MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid.
Those bonuses are nice. I will say those bonuses are nice when you throw money in. You do get paid for doing absolutely nothing. You know who else gets paid for doing absolutely nothing? Nathan Powell. Hi, Nathan.
Yes, but we're going to be doing something tonight. We're going to start us off talking about some news and notes. Some big news came out this past week with preseason and whatnot. We had
brutal.
Yeah, brutal stuff. We had, we'll start us off with the Spencer Ware injury that ended up being like hot take city this past weekend, where it was, you know, okay, Kareem Hunt is the greatest running back ever. So, Chad Scott, lead us off. What is your take on the Chiefs running back situation post Spencer Ware injury?
Well, I think you said it. Kareem Hunt is the best running back ever. No, I mean, Kareem Hunt's a guy that I've been on. And I didn't really think like 2017 was much in the cards for Kareem Hunt. I thought he'd get some play, but I kind of always imagined Ware being the guy there. But now he's out of the picture. I really like Kareem Ware even.
I thought you said Kareem Moore. I was
Andy
like,
Reid has expensive. Rob Moore. he's got a propensity to lift his running backs' floors and ceilings up a bit. I don't expect Kareem Hunt to, you know, be this kind of fringe RB1, like a lot of people are saying. If he stays healthy, 16, that's a possibility. But, you know, when you were drafting him in like the 9th, 10th rounds, I thought that was great value, even maybe into the 5th and 6th. People are like doing thirds, early 4ths now in redraft. And I like Kareem Hunt. I'd rather have Dalvin Cook than Kareem Hunt for 2017.
Yeah, there's a couple of ways to look at it. And you mentioned between, you know, redraft and dynasty, whatever. But in the redraft thing, I've heard some good points where people will say, like, well, you know, Spencer Ware got injured. Yeah, but were you ever taking Spencer Ware in the 2nd or the 3rd? No, I mean, you were getting him in the 4th and whatnot. And I think dynasty is a little bit different in that sense. I think they were going pretty similarly. And I think a lot of people liked Hunt's talent a little bit more, even though they're kind of similar players. At least from my perspective, they seem relatively similar, and they should both work out in that offense. But obviously now we're going to get a year without Spencer Ware, and it might be the end in Kansas City for Spencer Ware with the injury, and now with Hunt, if he can produce, if he can show that he is what they hoped he'd be. So I think it does bring Hunt way up in dynasty value. I've never been a huge fan, but I think just because he's going to get those reps, I think it'll work wonders for him in the long run. But I will say, I do think they're going to bring somebody else in. I don't think Charcandrick West is going to stick as the backup, the sole backup. I think they might bring in someone like a Ryan Matthews, just kind of take the edge off a little bit.
That's interesting. Matthews, I could totally see happening. Yeah, this is, I don't know. I mean, in a redraft setting, this overreaction might be merited. In a dynasty setting, like, you're basically banking on him to be the go-to guy. Like, he would have had to have won the job outright from Spencer Ware, because Spencer Ware wasn't that good to begin with. So, like, he would have already taken the job from him regardless. So it would have taken 4 or 5 more games if he is as good as his redraft or his dynasty value might be indicating. In a redraft setting, opportunity is essentially everything. So, sure. He's a guy that I own legitimately 0 shares of. And after this injury, I was like, yeah, that's about fitting that I have literally no shares on. But now I can't buy him. Like, the price tag, I think we can all agree the price tag is insane. Even in a dynasty setting, especially, like, the price tag is I actually was on the golf course this weekend, and my buddy was trying to sell me for a first plus sum for Hunt, which was outrageous.
Yeah, my take on the Chiefs backfield is I was fading both Ware and Hunt when they were both healthy, because I thought they would eat into each other's carries and targets enough to where both guys would be getting like 10 to 12 touches per game. With Ware out, I think that obviously changes to where Hunt can obviously take over that workhorse role if it's available in the offense. So I'm definitely not buying at the elevated price tag, but I think that it at least warrants the increase slightly. So I think that with Kareem Hunt, he's a guy that you're going to be able to rely on as like an RB2. I don't think that Charcandrick West is really going to do anything for you. So it's one of those things that it's definitely a solve from a dynasty perspective, because I don't see Hunt as like a long-term RB1 or whatever. And if you can get, you know, let's say like a mid-18 first and something on top, that's definitely a move I'd be looking to make.
I'd even like late first and something on top seems fine in that situation. All right, let's move on since we're kind of doing the quick hits here. So let's go ahead and talk about Edelman. He was injured. What does this do for the Pats pass catchers? And what is our take as far as value? I mean, Edelman's value is now probably plummeted. Maybe he's like a cheap buy for next year for some production. But what is our take?
Well, I was fading Edelman just to begin with. I mean, they brought in Brandon Cooks. We have hopefully a healthy Gronk. You know, everyone wants the Malcolm Mitchell thing to happen. I still don't know what's going to go on there. They still have Chris Hogan. They still have Danny Amendola. They still have all those pass-catching running backs. I think it was going to be a year where Brady really spread it out, and this one hurt, you know, more from the guessing game perspective, because we never, you know, it's going to stretch out from the running backs to the wide receivers, I think, a little bit more this year, because Brandon Cooks is that boom-bust guy, but I think we might see a little bit more of the sustainable week-to-week. I'm virtually out on Edelman pretty much forever at this point. I think Chris Hogan can do that what he did equally as productive as Edelman was. I don't think he's going to get those looks. But plummet, definitely a plummet in the dynasty value, probably to, like you said, Eric, close to nothing. And maybe some competitors going and looking for him next off season,
Yep.
Throwing a late pick just to grab him.
All right, real quick, guys. Anything else on Edelman?
I got nothing. I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I mean, Belichick could put Burkhead out there. He could put Lewis out there. He could do anything he really wants to. That offense, it doesn't matter. I mean, I like Hogan, and a lot of people are pumping up now. And I just saw Fantasy HDHD or ADHD, not HDHD, but it looks like Hogan's climbed like 5 rounds in the last 3 days or something like that. And I mean, I'm not really ready to take Chris Hogan in like the 7th or 8th round. I mean, are you guys in redraft?
No.
The one thing this does for Hogan is he goes from a guy who you had at the end of your bench to a guy that you'll be able to spot start. And his role can definitely decrease if Malcolm Mitchell's role increases. But for now, I think Hogan will have spot start, scoring.
All right, let's move on. And this one was also pretty brutal. Cameron Meredith went down yesterday. Looks like his season is done based off of his tweets. I'm not sure that there's been official medical news yet, but it looks like he's out. I've seen this as like baptism by fire for Kevin White, like good night or get out. What are we doing with this backfield? Is Kendall Wright is a person that we have to own at this point? I'm sorry, about the wide receiving core, not backfield.
I think Kendall was a guy that you definitely had to roster. I saw him on the waiver wire for a little while until he got signed with the Bears, because we still didn't know if Kevin White was going to be healthy. We didn't know what he was going to do. Obviously, Meredith had a big year, and the sky was a limit for him because he was perceived as a wide receiver one there, and Kendall Wright was basically free. So now I think you bring in Kendall, who is a seasoned veteran, who's back with his offensive coordinator from Tennessee that he had his big seasons with. And I think it could be just kind of a match made in heaven, a nice little safety valve for whether it's Glennon or Trubisky.
Yeah, I think that the Bears wide receiving core, it's an easy one to fade because it's not like they have a quarterback that's going to be able to support multiple weapons anyway. So I think that if you're going to look at a guy to target, maybe it is Zach Miller at tight end if he's healthy. But that would pretty much be it as far as the pass catchers. Jordan Howard isn't really catching passes out of the backfield. So maybe Tariq Cohen has some sleeper interest in that late rounds of an NFC draft. There are times where it's okay to fade an offense. And with this offense, it's enough of a mess that it's a fade. I mean, Kevin White may be worth it. Go ahead.
That was going to be my question, Nathan. Is this just like a stay away completely from situation? Because this is like trying to find the value in just an abysmal offense. It might just be best to literally go no direction, just maybe Jordan Howard. But even then, they're going to stack the box now because nobody's a threat, right?
Right. That's also the concern of, when you have a team that is, projected to probably lose, 10, 11 games, the expectations for the running back definitely go down, and the floor for the running back on a weekly basis certainly lowers as well.
So before we move on to the next one, I'm going to ask Chad, do you think it's a good time, and are you a believer in Cameron Meredith to go out and buy him now that we have the confirmed injury? We have, he's going to be out. And do you think it's a buying opportunity for the future, or do you think those owners are just going to hold?
I think most of them are going to probably hold. I mean, you're looking at a guy that I think he's 25 years old, undrafted, free agent that, had a great story, and it really sucks to actually watch that happen on, I think it was Sunday. It was like so bad to watch, but I don't know if his owners are actually going to be selling him at this point. Cause I don't know what they're going to get for him. I mean, I'm not going to take a third for Cam Meredith, but if I own him, and I don't think anybody's going to offer more than that at this point. I will say that, everybody knows like Kevin White, it's put up or shut up time. Right. So he's the guy that was like, basically, like people were wondering if they should take him or Amari Cooper a few years ago in rookie drafts. And the guy, I mean, is it weird? Like Evan Silva tweeted this the other day. Like it does look like he's kind of a lineman running routes. Like this dude was he was like so fast coming out. And when we saw him in spandex at the combine, he looked so sexy and good. And like what happened that he's like basically moving in mud now? I don't know, man. It's put up or shut up time for him, and I'm almost willing to maybe offer seconds for Kevin White at this time, and maybe hopefully get a hit, because I mean, the dude was funneled targets last year and before he got hurt again, and it's worth a shot in my opinion. I don't know.
I mean, I would explore selling White for a second where I have him. That's not crazy. One thing I wanted to add to what you're saying, Chad, is Meredith had a strangely low amount of actual trade value even prior to this injury. Like, people just were like, he has a nice startup ADP, but his actual trade value just seems to be so low. Like, nobody seems to be willing to pay that ADP price. So he's almost like a veteran in that sense, where you pay for like Adrian Peterson a year ago and you're never getting that back, but you're comfortable with it. And that's kind of creates a weird situation when he gets injured, because his value dips even lower. So there's no way, if you reach for him in that ADP, that you're then like selling him for a third round pick. That would just be crazy.
Yeah, Meredith was a guy that I was grabbing when I grabbed him off the waiver wire. Pretty much as soon as the production started, I've been trying to sell him. And especially during the offseason, I was like, okay, this is a guy I want to try and sell, maybe get a late first, early second type value. And that type of trade value just never, you know, came to be. So it was one of those things that you see the injury, and yes, you know, this is a terrible thing to say, but it's like, you know, you see the injury, like, darn, there goes my sell window. Like, even if I wanted to sell, I can't now. So, I mean, right now you probably couldn't get anything more than like a late 18 second for him, and I definitely wouldn't sell for that. But I think that, you know, I think he's just in a, you know, a whole scenario where you can't really buy him and you don't want to sell him either.
Completely agree. You wouldn't sell him for a 2018 second?
A late one, no. I mean, if it was early mid, I probably would.
Man, I think I might.
But we're like, at that point. I mean, with the injury, like, and he was never a sure thing to begin with. I think I'm with you, Chad. I think a second's fine.
Yeah, I'd probably take a 18 rookie draft pick for Cam Meredith. But speaking of drafts, fantasy fans, listen up. If you love fantasy football, you need to try my new favorite app. It's called Draft. Here's how it works. You do a draft that lasts for, you know, a week, maybe. There's no management. You just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of the last-minute injuries for you, so you can avoid things like Cam Meredith, Julian Edelman, all that fun stuff. Drafts start every couple of minutes or so. You can join one right now if you wanted to. The best part? Cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so it can cover up everybody that wants to play, whether you're a high roller, they have those big games, and they've got the dollar games. It's awesome. No salary caps. Or just real live snake drafts. It's perfect. You know, for those of you that don't love certain things, this one's a straightforward snake draft, like old school. So you can come join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store, and it'll pop right up. Or you can play from your computer on PlayDraft.com, whatever you want to do. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code, or our promo code, I suppose, RV Radio. That's right. Play for real money with the promo code RV Radio on your first deposit and then draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play free with promo code RV Radio.
Yeah, that got a little possessive there, Dan. Like, that was your promo code? I thought it was our promo code. I thought we were all going to play against the listeners.
It's ours, but I mean that app is sick. So I like to take pride with it. I've already done a couple. I did some baseball drafts already. And I don't even watch baseball, and I won money. I won no what joke.
Is this? Like, last time you talked about golf, now baseball. I mean, I agree. The app is insane. Like, if you go searching in the app store, like, just the delivery of the photos and like just the interface, you can tell it's a serious app.
Yeah, no, it's badass. It's easily my favorite.
All right, well, let's move on. So now that we're approaching this time of year where everybody's starting to think about the redraft leagues, and this is the time of year where suddenly veterans become valuable. Not quite as valuable as like week two, week three, when you're starting to see like the DeMarco Murrays win people games. But this is the time of the year where guys kind of turn into redraft owners in their dynasty leagues, which is awesome. So there's a lot of ways to exploit that. So this segment is going to be kind of us talking about ways that we like to pivot the way we think to make money off of these particular players. I guess Chad, being the guest, I guess talk about how you're approaching this time of the year where you see a lot of your more novice and even some of the more seasoned dynasty owners starting to shift to a more redraft mindset.
Yeah, I was talking about this the other night on the DLF podcast. I'm pretty stagnant when it comes to this part of the season, just because, you know, when people pop in preseason, they're way too overvalued in the owner's mind, and so I usually don't go that route. And then on the flip side, you know, like, I don't want to be that guy either that's selling too low in case this guy is actually popping in the regular season. So I'm pretty stagnant when it comes to this time of year, when it comes to trades. I'm pretty active in the off season and in season, but at this point in preseason, I usually don't send too many trade offers.
Yeah, it can be it can be a tough time. I actually find a lot of success in sending trades now. You can go out and target guys that maybe aren't 100% healthy, that maybe have just a slight dip in their value. And by offering up someone, what's that?
Giovanni Bernard, go on.
So, and by offering up somebody that is healthy and that is going to produce to a team that maybe thinks they're a contender or maybe thinks they're a playoff team, you know, you can get a little, you can squeeze more value out of those guys, and you can go out and maybe package up a couple of, you know, RB3s or something and get yourself into a nice wide receiver or anything along those lines. It's an easier time if you're going to throw the time into it. I mean, it takes a lot of roster searching and finding the right trade partners, but and this time of year too, it's guys should have already made up their mind if they were going to be trying to contend or just totally punting. But this is kind of when everyone really peels off one direction or the other. Your tankers are really just getting rid of the last bits of things that they have, or maybe holding on to that one last one, like you said, Eric, maybe week three or week four after they produced. Yeah. And then you've got your...
Or didn't realize they had somebody who produces, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, somebody just randomly falls into their lap, and oh, all of a sudden I've got this guy, whether they're...
Suddenly Tyreek Hill is good, Nathan.
Yeah, like Nathan last year, until he dropped him and I picked him up.
Yeah, the one thing that I do this time of year with my trades, a lot of people talk about how player evaluation often gets overstated, and that during the offseason you can draft a guy or you can trade for a guy and you can end up trading for him later trading him away even if you don't like him. So I'll make those trades where I'll get a throw in that I'm not necessarily in love with, or I'll draft a guy because they fell in the rookie draft but I'm not a true believer in them long term. And so during this August period, before the season starts, I'm trying to ship those guys off for guys that I am a fan of from a player evaluation standpoint, because, you know, I just don't want to get stuck holding a guy I don't actually like. And I think that it's much more easy to make the trades of, you know, go through all the motions of getting the value throughout the offseason. But when push comes to shove, you don't want to end up having a guy that you don't think is good in the season start, and then you'd be proven right, and then you have him stuck on your roster.
So let's go around the horn, and we'll start with Chad. Just, you know, and it can be in a vacuum. It doesn't have to be like for a contender or for a, you know, someone that's punting. Who's one player that you are trying to sell, and who's one player that you're trying to buy from a production standpoint? You know, if you are that team that's struggling to sell or whatever, however you want to look at it, but production you're looking to buy and sell.
So for buying, I'm actually, and it's going to be really hard because rookie drafts just commenced, but I'm probably going to try to buy Samaje Perine if I can, just because it looks like Kelly will start as the starter in Washington. Perine hasn't done the best, but he's a guy that I really liked kind of coming out. And so he's a guy that I'm targeting if I can. And it's going to be hard when, you know, rookie drafts just kind of ended. But he's a guy that I'll try to grab. I don't really have a sell right now so much. Maybe a Larry Fitzgerald if I'm not contending. I know I wouldn't do it now. I'd probably do it, like, you know, when it comes 3-4 week 5, when he's still producing. But, you know, we've all seen him kind of on the back half of the 16 fade a little bit, and that's probably when I try to do. But again, there's a lot of savvy dynasty owners, as we know, especially the ones the leagues we're in, especially filled with Twitter people. Yeah. It's hard to sell Larry Fitzgerald at that point, but I'd probably try to.
All right, give me Marlon Mack is a guy that I'm like starting to buy up a lot of, and I had already purchased, but I'm just gonna. He's a guy that, like, if you're in that, and it's tough with the blurbs that are starting to come out, but that's a guy who's got a lot of opportunity facing him that I like a lot. And then selling, I'm not sure that this is sexy redraft time sell, but a guy who I'm really trying to unload from, and I've still got two shares of, is Devontae Parker. Watching him like unload in the preseason games, it's just a guy who I feel like he would have happened already if he was going to. So he's a guy that I'm trying to get out from under now, finally. And he's a guy that I've been camping on for like 2 years, and I'm going to be happy when I have no shares of him, as crazy as that sounds, maybe.
Yeah, my two big buys right now are the guys that I've been buying pretty much all offseason, and it's Sammy Watkins and Alshon Jeffrey. These are two guys that, yes, they have the higher price tag, being guys that are selected in that second round startup range, but it's one of those things that their price is where it is right now, but yeah. When they have six or seven games of no injuries and they're you know exploding on the scene with seven or eight touchdowns in the first eight games, that's when their price is going to go right back to where it belongs, in that 8 to 12 startup range. So,
Nathan, is your plan to sell them back though at that point? Or I mean, I know you're a huge Sammy guy, but is your plan to just sell them back when they blow up? Or are you like just going to feel validated and win games?
Yeah, no, it's not always necessary to say I bought this guy for X value and then I'm going to sell him for Y value. You can just, say, okay, I bought this guy for X value and now he's giving me this many points to my team. So, I could, theoretically, if Sammy Watkins went off to a scorching start and then I could sell him, Sammy Watkins in 2 seconds for OBJ. If that, if that happens, then maybe I would go and try it. But, no, I'm not buying with the intentions to sell after a hot start. I'm buying with intentions of benefiting after a hot start.
I like those a lot, Nathan. And I generally don't like Alshon. I've hated his value forever. I agree. Now is probably the time to own Alshon.
Yeah, I've actually bought a couple more shares recently. My actual buy that I'm bringing to the segment here is probably definitely the most unsexy name we're going to drop in this conversation. But Zach Ertz. No, it's not Ricky Fields Jones. That was my last week or whenever that was take. But it's another tight end. Zach Ertz is my buy right now. His value hasn't changed at all. He lost his real competition for targets on that offense. And I don't know if you guys have noticed yet, but Carson Wentz still isn't any good. So those checkdown passes.
Is outrageous.
It's check down passes to his tight end who likes to fall forward for a half extra yard are going to be very, very, very solid throughout the season. Like I said before, no more Jordan Matthews. I'm still buying Alshon too, but they can coexist there, I believe. I think Zach will get enough targets to make that to make that spot worthwhile. And like I said, his value hasn't caught up yet. And my sell is... No one's going to like this, but my sell is Christian McCaffrey, because I mean the couple of places I had him, I've already moved on and I've gotten into low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two players. My only share of Allen Robinson I got for McCaffrey, or I got Allen Robinson and something for McCaffrey. So, I mean, if at those prices, I will sell all day, every day.
I actually like the Allen Robinson buy. I'm doing that myself if I can.
Yeah, Allen Robinson is a terrific buy right now. He's another guy that I'm just all over. And I've actually had success with one first, by the way. Wow. I've pulled up two trades with one first. That is, I don't know. It's like not, like as they accept, I just throw it out there as a starter, and then that gets accepted. It's like, wow, again? That's nuts.
Yeah, I'm like,
I mean, yeah. Go ahead, Chad.
I'm team like 2015 production right now. Like I'm looking at guys like Hopkins, Gurley, Allen Robinson. Yeah, those guys are all cheap right now. I mean,
Allen Robinson was 2015 production. All right.
Yeah, like I'm looking at like these 2015 production all had a dip in 2016, and I believe in their talent and their situations where. I'm trying to grab them, and especially in redraft. Like I got all those guys in my redraft leagues, like for really late. Like Sammy Watkins was in the 607, I think I got him on Friday in my home redraft league. And I mean, taking a shot right there in redraft is like I'm fine with. Like, give me.
Before we get into Grandma Nancy's favorite Dynasty Trade Cast game, let's talk about our good friends at Reality Sports Online. Have you ever wished you could be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online, a powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. Reality Sports Online was created by a former NFL front office personnel and features a revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency, enabling fantasy owners to negotiate and sign NFL's top talent to single or multi-year contracts. The platform can host up to 32 teams and has tons of other cool features in addition to free agency, like a redraft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, injured reserve, automated contract, and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills today for free with our 14-day free trial at realitysportsonline.com. If you like what you see, use the promo code TRADECAST10 to receive a 10% discount on your league today. Once again, that's TRADECAST10. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. All right, let's get real with some Dynasty Card Sharks. I don't remember what the song is.
Well, wait. Was that Under the Sea that just started? Were you like,
I guess so.
Under the Sea.
Under the Sea.
Up on the shore, this name all day.
My hot crustacean way. All right. Well, Nathan rolled into that like he was going to host this one, but I am actually going to host this one. Yay, everyone's favorite.
He rolled in with a Disney theme song. I'm so in, man. I wish he had finished the song.
It's like a shout out to SFB7 right there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
There you go.
Yeah, Aerial League. Hi, Scott. Life.
All right. So we are playing Card Sharks tonight. For those of you that don't know how it works, what I will do is I will give a player, and this week and for the foreseeable future, the way we're going to do it is by using the RotoViz trade calculator on RotoViz.com. And so what we'll do is I'll give a player, I'll give their calculator value, and then I will give another player who is, you know, similarly valued, and the guys have to try to figure out if he's higher or lower, and then we'll discuss where they should actually be, whether one's higher or lower, blah, blah, blah. So let's jump in.
Just to clarify, value-wise, the it goes from 1 to 100. So you have, like, Odell at, like, 96. You have, I assume, Cameron Meredith at, like, 1 right now.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know how it works, it's based on a combination of ADP and historical trade value. So they'll go through and just dig through tons and tons and tons of trades and tons of drafts and compile it all together. It's awesome. So our first player on the board with a calculator value of 13 is Ben Roethlisberger. What I need from you guys is to find out if Deshaun Watson is higher or lower. We'll start with you, Chad.
Deshaun Watson. I'm going to say he's lower.
Nathan?
Lower.
And right. Eric?
Yeah, I feel like you're trying to trick us. I'll go Watson's higher, and that's silly. Stop buying into the retirement hype on Roethlisberger. Yeah. Enjoy your free money with him on your team for the next 2 years.
So Deshaun Watson is actually lower. He has a calculated value of 12, wow. Which to me is I mean, it doesn't seem all that crazy. I think I'd rather have Deshaun, but at the same time, I mean, that seems pretty accurate to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically all in on Deshaun in all my super flex leagues right now, and I'm kind of sink or swim with him, but man, I'd take 2 years of Ben Roethlisberger production over who knows what we'll have with Watson.
Yeah, it's not even close in a super flex.
I have a drunk or not with Chad. Chad.
Oh God.
This was a drunk or not trade.
No, I'm asking you, when we made the Miles Gaskin Devy spot for Deshaun Watson trade, were you drunk or not?
I'm always drunk, so probably.
Okay, that's awesome. Next on the list with a calculator value of 27 is Marshawn Lynch. And what I need to know is whether Amir Abdullah is higher or lower. Let's start with Eric this time.
Lower, I'll go lower. And it's actually crazy that Marshawn Lynch is that much higher than Ben Roethlisberger. But I guess it's a 1 QB league, so what are you going to do?
Right. Chad?
What was the question?
Marshawn Lynch at 27, and then you've got Amir Abdullah higher or lower?
Amir Abdullah's higher.
Nathan?
I'm surprised that Lynch is this high, but I'm still going to say Abdullah's higher.
Amir Abdullah is, in fact, higher. He has a value of 28 in the calculator. And, I mean, I'm with you guys. This Marshawn being that high is super surprising to me. I don't know if I'm missing something or if he like developed a new back in that year he was gone, or if he somehow didn't get older for a, like I really don't understand.
What is he? He's like 26, right, Dan? I mean, he's not that old.
Like,
right?
He's like 43.
Actually, if you I don't get it. You have the real age. Fun fact for the listeners at home, if you want to do some math, you'll learn his real age.
I really don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I understand the touches. I get it. But his dynasty value should not be that high, you guys.
Yeah, I think that if we're just talking about these two players in particular, I think that the argument to be made is that, okay, with running backs, you can't really count on them more than a 1 or 2 year window anyways. And so Lynch is in the better offense and has the easier path to, you know, touches. So yes, Abdullah is going to get in Detroit, but he's still going to lose the targets to Theoretic and could lose goal and carries to Zach Center. So who would value Lynch above Abdullah would simply be saying, okay, this is a 1 year window thing. And I'm not worried about running backs past that.
And to be fair, Lynch might win you a league this year, but I doubt it.
No, I mean, I like Lynch for this year a little bit, but I'd rather have Amir Abdullah like by far because, I mean, this is another guy that I really like coming out. I'm hoping he can stay healthy. Dude's electric when he's on the field, and I think he can give you the running and pass catching ability out of the backfield. So easily for me, it's Amir Abdullah.
Love it. Okay. Next on the list, we have a Josh Doctson who has a calculator value of 20. And we need to know if Pierre Garçon is higher or lower. Nathan, I'm going to start with you.
Little rivalry action here, huh?
Ooh, I like it.
What's the rival? I don't get it. What's the rivalry part of this?
They both were wide receivers last year for the Skins.
Okay. Under.
Oh, my God. All right. I will take Pierre Garçon has a higher value than Doctson because his value is completely out of control, listeners. Do not go buy Pierre Garçon. It's outrageous right now.
Chad, what do you got?
Me? Yeah, I am actually buying Pierre Garçon. I mean, I think this guy is usually going to push for 100 receptions in the next 2-3 years. And Doctson, I don't know if is ever going to be a thing. As much as I liked him as a prospect, sometimes we just have to let go and let production kind of take its place. So I'm going with Pierre Garçon.
So did you have him higher than Doctson?
Yeah, higher.
Okay. So the calculator actually tells us that Pierre Garçon has a value of 18, which would be lower.
Wow. Do that on the trade market and come back and talk to me.
No big deal.
Trade market.
I mean, this is like the – this is the ultimate version of production versus potential. Wow. You don't know what you have in Doctson. Obviously, everyone that liked him, hi Frank, wants him to just be a world beater. But you already have Pierre Garçon. I mean, like, I'm with Chad. I'm buying Pierre Garçon. I think he could very easily be a top five, top six wide receiver, at least from like a target perspective. We don't know how good Brian Hoyer, you know, is gonna be those. He could probably catch up like a 50% rate based on those targets, but I think it's gonna be a monster a couple of years for him.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm so torn, man. So torn.
Sorry, you're losing Euro for three.
No, I really am. Euro for three. This is a rarity in these games. Enjoy your victory,
Eric,
boys.
Wait, hold on. We have one more set, and then we have one where you can catch back up. So,
all right, well, do we want to play double or nothing on the last one, maybe, and then I can win on the last.
Yeah, double? Yeah. No, we're gonna give you a chance at least to try. So before we get to the really fun one, we're gonna go with a couple of tight ends. We have David Njoku. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that David correctly. I'm sorry. Calculator value. His calculator value is also 20, similar to Josh Doctson. What we need to know is if Jimmy Graham is higher or lower. Chad, we'll go back to you.
Jimmy Graham, higher. He better be higher.
I mean, Eric? I agree. Chad actually said exactly everything I wanted to say there. Like, this is full-on shenanigans if he's not higher.
This better be higher. Nathan?
I'm going higher as well.
Clean sweep. You guys finally got one right. Jimmy Graham has a calculator value of 23. And it was actually surprising that it was that close. I mean, I get the rookie tight end love this year, but it seemed kind of too close for comfort. And I actually thought Jimmy Graham would be worth more, but that falls kind of in the zone there.
And if you really think about it, Njoku went around that 108, 109 range in rookie drafts. And I haven't seen Jimmy – since the injury, I haven't seen Jimmy Graham get sold for like a mid-first since then. So, I mean, it might just be a case of Jimmy Graham being a veteran and a guy that isn't really traded that often. But I definitely never saw Graham go for a higher price than where Njoku was getting picked.
Plus, he only has one season left in Seattle, and we don't really know where he's going. He's going to be, what, 30, I think, going into next year. And I think with the knee injury, I mean, I guess I can kind of see it. But for me, that's not even close. But, yeah.
You guys are smart. I like this. All right, so we're going to throw a little wrench into the game. We don't normally do this, but we are going to try. So we need these players in order based on their calculator trade value. Eric, I'm going to start with you. We have Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook, Corey Davis, and Rob Gronkowski. I need to know in what order they fall in value.
All right. I will start with Gronk. I will go second. I'll throw Aaron Rodgers at the – no, maybe not. I feel like Aaron Rodgers at the end. I'm just going to go all in here. I'm going to go Gronk, Cook, Davis, Rodgers. Final answer.
Okay. Chad, what do you think?
Say the names again.
Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook, Corey Davis, and Rob Gronkowski.
I'm going to go Davis, Cook, Gronk, A-Rod.
Nathan.
I'm going to go Davis, Gronk, Cook, A-Rod.
So I think... anyone that put Gronk second, those were the only correct answers. Oh. According to the RotoViz trade calculator, Aaron Rodgers has a value of 47. Rob Gronkowski has a value of 46. Corey Davis, 42. And Dalvin Cook, 40, which is actually kind of surprising, especially considering all of the recent love for him in the last month or so. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers being the highest valued there?
I think that's poor. If you're drafting Aaron Rodgers before those guys, I think that's tough.
I feel like they might have been pulling from super draft leagues.
Yeah,
I left the 2QB and the super flex stuff out. So it only pulls from one quarterback values as well as trades.
It's interesting. I mean, we play in a lot of expert leagues where the QB is just not valued that much. But and I think we all kind of subscribe to that. So It's shocking to see him at the top, but I mean, I guess it's not crazy for the general fantasy football public, but my order was correct fantasy football public. So if you go out and you want to draft guys, just by all means, treat yourself.
What I will say in defense of the values that are given, we a lot of times see those kind of guys, the Rodgers and the Gronks, go before their trade value would go, if you could think of it in those terms. Like, you could draft Gronk in the high second, but you're not getting that return for him if you tried to trade for him. Same thing with Rodgers. If you draft Rodgers in the third or maybe the early fourth or wherever you're getting him, you're not getting that value back. You can't turn around and trade him for a wide receiver too, unless you have just a team that didn't draft any quarterbacks and has like 15 wide receivers. So I can understand it from that perspective at least.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap the show. And wrapping the show, I want to remind everybody you can get a listeners only 30% discount to RotoViz if you sign up through the link on our podcast. That's rotoviz.com/podcast, or you can message us on Twitter at RotoViz. So also remember to rate and review the pod. That is inherently important. If you love the pod, you want people to listen to the pod, that is the best way to give us a referral. People can find the pod. They will listen to the pod like Chad Scott does, apparently. Good for you, Chad Scott. Good for you.
I do, man.
We are now up to 10 and a half listeners.
Yeah,
10
points, man. We keep bringing guests on, and finally we got one who listened. All right, so to wrap the show real quick, I know the show's already going long. Let's have some fun, because I know Dan and I, and actually all three of us gave our take that Blake Bortles wouldn't finish the season. How many games, if you had to set an over-under for Blake Bortles starting the season, would you give, starting with guest Chad Scott?
I will go with
9. Okay, all right. I'm not even going to start there. Go ahead, Dan.
4.5.
All right.
Dan took my answer, so I'll go 3.5.
All right. I will go with 1.5. I think he starts one game and RIP Blake Bortles. All right.
Shall we make this into a beer bet?
Yeah.
Or a sparkling water bet for me?
Yeah. What is this? You stopped drinking? I invited him to Vegas, by the way, and he refused. This is something's up.
I didn't refuse. Some people have to work. Good Lord.
Wait,
hold on. You invited Dan to Vegas, but not me?
Yeah, well, sometimes when you show up early,
Nathan, they don't allow 15-year-olds into Vegas.
I was going to say, you have to be 21 or over, Nathan.
All right.
Your middle school could probably take a vacation trip or something. I don't know. Maybe I might
invite Nathan, and I guarantee he'll say no. Spoiler alert, he's definitely saying no, but he's going to be offended that I didn't invite him. And we are going to go ahead and wrap the show. Chad Scott, thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you, man. I guess I had a blast, man. I've always been wanting to get on the show. I promise you, like, I do listen, and I have been wanting to get on. And so, you know, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, you can hear Chad Scott. If you love Chad Scott, you can hear him every week on the DLF pod.
Yeah.
And he also writes for DLF. So go out there and seek him. What's your Twitter handle?
As I was gonna say, he's also real good at the Twitters.
I have my moments. I'm really good at, like, changing my name on Twitter. What's that?
I said, what's your handle on Twitter, Chad?
I am at Chad_Scott13.
All right. He told the listeners where to follow him. And on that note, this show went way too long. It was fun. And we will catch up with you guys next week.